Good morning, everybody. So good to see you all. I welcome you and pray that we will experience the power of the Holy Spirit working in our hearts and in our lives as we worship together this morning. And especially as we listen to the Word of God, we will all hear the God's voice speaking to us with a message that we all need to hear. James had been excessively anxious for years. It got to the point where his compulsive worrying was ruining his life. So he went to a psychiatrist who recommended that James hire a professional worrier. Have you heard of that profession? Or a professional worrier. After he'd been working with the specialist for a few months, James' friend, John, noticed a change. "What happened?" John asked. "You don't worry about anything anymore." "I hire a professional warrior," James answered. "That must cost a fortune," John said. "Not necessarily. He only charges $50 a day, $1,500 a month. Considering he carries the weight of all my worries 24/7, it's a bargain," James said sheepishly. "Still, his fee is too high. How can you ever afford to pay him?" John exclaimed. "I don't know," James said. "That's his problem." The warrior James hired must have been a really good one. James does not worry anymore and does not pay for the treatment. Ordinary people like you and I easily become unstable, anxious, and depressed about a lot of things, especially about how to sustain life. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could hire a professional warrior and let him or her take up our worries? He or she would take all our care dutifully for a fee, and it would be worth our money. But there is no such profession. Worrying subjugates people instead of making them stronger. The good news is that we don't have to live this worry. We can defeat it, in fact. We can defeat worrying with a correct understanding and correct attitude. Listen to Jesus and his wisdom about worrying. Jesus' Sermon on the Mount is familiar to us, and his teaching on worry is even more familiar. But we may have yet to notice that Jesus used a very practical and easy-to-understand approach to teach uselessness in worrying. Jesus asked a rhetorical question to make his point. Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? This is the same question as, can we grow more hair by worrying? Can my worrying help the stock market perform better? Those of us with kids worry about our kids constantly. Can our worry make our kids happy, healthy, and successful? Worrying does not change any of our life circumstances. Think about the things that makes us worry right now and examine them closely. Have our worry changed anything for the better? Nothing. Eckhart Tolle the author of The Power of Now, said this: worrying pretends to be necessary. It just pretend. Worrying pretends to be necessary, but serves no useful purpose. Worrying is useless, and yet we worry regardless. Worrying about things that are beyond our power and control is even more irrational. You know, I used to worry about recycling. My rationale behind this was that hundreds of millions of tons of plastics go to waste each year. And it takes decades, they said, even centuries, for them to decompose. In the meantime, nanoplastics are consumed by fish. You know, this is a sad news for those of you who love sushi, okay? They are observed in the soil and ended up in the human body. This world problem was on my mind whenever I saw plastic. And one day, I finally decided to accept that I could not solve this problem by myself. I mean, I actually did. I still recycle as much as I can, but recycling all the plastic waste in the world is not on my shoulders anymore, and I'm happy about that. The geographic background of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount resonates with Jesus' teaching on needless worrying. The Mount of Beatitude is located in northern Israel, off the shore of the Sea of Galilee. So Jesus was sitting right on the mount, looking down the Sea of Galilee, and the crowd saw that too. The greater force controlled the weather, wind, rain, and storms over the sea, and fishermen's interests and wish do not and cannot affect the atmosphere. Therefore, they wisely accepted the weather pattern instead of worrying about it. Another practical approach to understanding that worrying is needless is we are more valuable than what we worry about. Compare food and clothes with ourselves. Which is more valuable? Means of basic sustenance are important, but are obviously less valuable than us. Actually, there is nothing more valuable than us, according to Paul's word. He said in Romans 8:32, "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things including those basic necessities." Jesus also used very practical examples to prove God's care for us, such as birds, flowers, and grass. They are found everywhere, and their numbers are incalculable. Researchers say that about 50 billion birds exist in the world. The number of flowers is surely more than the number of birds. Between 250,000 to 400,000 species of flowering plants exist. Just the kind of flowers are there many. And the actual number of flowers can easily go higher than the number of birds. The number of blades of grass in the world is even more than the number of flowers. These plentifully found objects in nature plainly point out that the proof of God's care for us is undeniable. In summary, worries of today such as, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? Are useless. What about our worries for tomorrow? Jesus said, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Again, let us think about the word of Jesus from a practical perspective. If we indeed have enough trouble for today, what does that mean? That means there is no more room within us to take in any extra worries. And worrying about the future troubles today is simply not practical. When President Lincoln was on his way to Washington to be inaugurated, he spent some time in New York with Horace Greeley and told him an anecdote that was meant to be an answer to the question that everybody was asking him. Are we really to have a civil war? In his circuit riding days as a lawyer, Lincoln and his companions had crossed many swollen rivers, but the Fox River was still ahead of them, and they said one to another, if these streams give us so much trouble, how shall we get over the Fox River? When darkness fell, they stopped for the night at a log tavern, where they fell in with a Methodist pastor in the district who rode through the country in all kinds of weather and knew all about the Fox River. They gathered about him and asked him about the present state of the river. Oh, yes, replied the Methodist circuit rider. I know all about the Fox River. I have crossed it often and understand it well. But I have one fixed rule concerning the Fox River. I never cross it till I reach it. It is senseless and impractical to worry about what has not yet happened. But they do worry about the future. A future event that bothered people so much, you know what that is dying. Does anyone of you fear death? If you do, I have a prophetic word about when you will die. So get your pencil ready and write it down. Okay? You will not die until you die. That's when you will die. So why do you worry about dying today? It is useless. According to the Associated Press, in June 1997, an employee at a Massachusetts store found a $20 bill on the washroom floor with a note folded inside. Help! Kidnap! Call Highway Patrol! The note said on one side and listed two Oklahoma phone numbers. My Ford van, cream and blue, Oklahoma. It said on the other side. The police were notified, and after they determined the names of the elderly couple registered at those phone numbers, Floyd and Rita Rupp, they put out an all points bulletin. The media published photos and descriptions of the missing couple. The two daughters of the couple sat anxiously by their phones, waiting for news as the interstate police search lasted 24 hours. Then a phone call was received at the office of Mr. Rupp. The office manager heard a familiar voice report. "I'm sitting here enjoying the views of the ocean." It was none other than the missing man. "You have no idea what's going on, do you?" said the office manager. No, he didn't. But when he found out, he and his wife were quite embarrassed. It turned out that his wife had been feeling insecure about driving back to Oklahoma, which she would be making alone. She had written the kidnap note and kept it in a purse just in case she needed it. It had accidentally fallen out of a purse in the store washroom. So they were never been kidnapped, never been lost. It's just a note that she wrote, just in case. Worrying about what has not yet happened is meaningless and adversely affects our lives today. Corrie ten Boom said this, "Worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength." Jesus is absolutely correct. Worrying does not do any good from a practical point of view. Moreover, we have better fish to fry. That is, have confidence in God's care and seek first God's interest and His business. Let me read from Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7 from the translation called The Message. "Let us not fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape our worries into prayers, letting God know our concerns. Before we know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle us down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of our life."